And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Even when it rains. I'm just saying, this show sends its signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to gas to parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. So I tell you what, I mean, it's amazing to me that school choice is as controversial as it is. Why is that? Why is it a thing that people don't want parents to have a say? I mean, put aside all of the, you'll crush public education by taking our dollars. No, it won't. Put aside that for a moment. Put aside the novelty of whether or not the government should be the one running schools. It knows better. I mean, just think about this for a second. Why don't you want parents to have a say? Why don't you want parents to have a say in what they believe is best for their child? It's because you don't want to let go of control and because you believe government knows better. That's why. Boomer, you guys, I'm dragging you in here, bro. This is totally unannounced, but he gives me the look. you guys moved. Basically, you left Nashville in large part because of where you wanted your kids to go to school.
Yeah, that was a very large part of it, and we just didn't feel like the school systems up there is exactly what we wanted for our children.
Yeah, little man reaching school age when he got down here, right? So just in time.
It was the next year, right? When we moved down, it was that following school season is when he started.
I mean, I know you're from here originally, but but you guys had a sense of community. You had history together in I mean, you were up there for how long? Almost 20 years.
20 years.
Years
it was,
in Nashville.
Honestly, it was very hard to leave.
Yeah.
Very hard. Yeah. I miss it every day. just everything up there. I mean, 20 years is a long time.
But the overarching decision-making process included what's best for your kids.
Yes, that was one of the biggest decisions, deciding factors.
Yeah,
and we love it down here. We love where he's going to school, and it was the right decision.
It shouldn't be that controversial. I mean, so y'all made a decision, and you actually just like sold the house, packed up, and moved.
Yeah,
and basically left everything behind and came down here and started from scratch. But which I admire completely, but the reality is you guys did something because you had to make some decisions for your child. And there's a lot of people, though, that don't have that capability.
Right.
They don't have the resources to move. Maybe they don't have a house they can sell to make something off of. They don't, whatever. They don't have a job that will transition them to another area.
Right.
But at the same time, they deserve a say where they live.
I completely agree. And, that's what it was up in Nashville. It was, for us, the private schools in Nashville area were just a little too green for us.
A little too green as in what's in your wallet or not in your wallet,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, just so you know, by the way, I hate to break this to you. I'm going to go ahead and try to be gentle with this. All
okay.
So just...
I'll take it.
Just take this in love.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So the fact that you guys made a decision about, where to send your child to school, that means you're racist.
Oh. Of course.
You dastardly cis white male. You made a decision.
Oh, shit. Oh, how dare I?
All right. So let me jump in here. So Senator Tim Scott running for president. Senator Tim Scott himself, a black man, a conservative. South Carolina is where he's from. Senator Tim Scott is blasting the teachers union boss, Randy Weingarten, because of her recent comments. This should not be a thing. This is such over-the-top hyperbole, such rhetoric. But Senator Tim Scott, according to the Washington Examiner, is slamming American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten on Wednesday for her comparison of parental rights advocates to Jim Crow segregationists, claiming that white liberals will always cry racism to win a fight. Scott said Weingarten has possibly done the most damage to students in poor communities recently after she claimed school choice and parental rights advocates were similar to segregationists who opposed the historic Supreme Court ruling Brown v. Board of Education. So this is nuts. I mean, so Randy Weingarten goes out there and says, Those same words you heard in terms of wanting segregation post-Brown board education, those same words you hear today. And then she talks about how she was just gobsmacked. That's her word, gobsmacked, because of parents wanting to have a say. And talking about how that's basically the equivalent of the days of segregation. What? And then here's Tim Scott. Scott said, "It is so frustrating to hear these liberal lies harkening back to a day that no longer exists. Yet they're the ones with their teachers' union standing in the doorway of our schoolhouses, trapping poor kids as if the house is on fire, but they won't let a single soul out." And he basically put in, you know, he basically questioned how she can possibly believe that she's not actually hurting black kids by making these kind of comments and resisting the idea of parents having choice. We talk about this all the time on the show. I mean, this is not a new topic. This is a recurring topic, and I'm going to keep harping on this until our legislature finally bones up and does something. That's what they've got to do. They've got to get themselves to a place where they recognize that doing the same old is going to equate to the same old result. But nonetheless, Randy Weingarten again, just so you know, she's trying to crawfish this thing now. Trying to crawfish it. Trying to get out there and say, "Hey, that's actually not what I said. No, we read what you said. I've got it in quotes. But I didn't mean it that way." Well, you said it, and you're a national figure, so yeah. Fox News, Dateline today. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten sparked outrage after she spoke about the Southern Poverty Law Center comparing 1950s segregationists with modern parental rights advocates, but denies agreeing with the assessment herself. No, she was going to bring it up as an example, but it wasn't what she believes. It was just an example to help make her point, but she really didn't mean it that way. Come on. Weingarten says the majority of Americans are not outraged about the state of public schools. They're just merely a small group of extremists who are relying on exacerbating the anxiety that people had post-COVID. No, actually, if anything, what happened was COVID woke people up. COVID, if there's anything that COVID brought to our lives that has been beneficial, it's that it pulled back the curtain and it let people see behind the curtain. I mean, when you've got to stay home with your kids because they have to log in, or they're sitting at the desk at your office because you can't leave them home alone, and so they're logging in on the Wi-Fi, and you hear the lessons they're getting, you go, "Wait, hang on a second, what was that about? What did you just, they're doing what? Why are they teaching that? What's that got to do with math? Why is your race-based curriculum being used in my child's school? Why is DEI part of math? Why are we talking about critical race theory? And my child's not a privileged child. We struggle to get by. My child's not an oppressed child. He's an intellectually brilliant young man who deserves to know that his skin color won't hold him back, and yet you're holding him back with critical race theory?" That's the kind of thing that parents began to see daily. And they got mad, and they got righteously mad, and then they began to do things like go to school board meetings. Holy cow! Wait a second! This is a public meeting. I'll thank you to be quiet, public. that's what we're talking about. Don't you come to our public meetings, you public people? Don't you dare speak out during the time that people are allowed to speak. That's not the way this was intended. Don't you know? We're the school board. We know stuff. What kind of stuff you know? Well, we know that pronouns are to be selected, not just taught as a part of grammar. Really? How's that work? And we know, by the way, that boys should be allowed to play girls' sports. Yeah. And use the girls' bathroom because gender. Okay. How's that helping my child reading and writing arithmetic? Well, don't worry. We lowered the standards, so they don't have to worry about that now. But you're the school board. That's right. We're going to make sure they all graduate, whether they can read or not, because we're the school board. And parents are already going, "Wait, just a freaking minute. What is happening?" And then you had organizations like, in a little bit, we're going to have Emily Jones from the Madison County chapter of Moms for Liberty. You had organizations springing up. You had the group, what did they call themselves, the Mama Bears. You had Moms for Liberty, which is now a national organization, in like record time. You had grassroots stuff popping up everywhere. Then you had Virginia, where the governor's race flipped because of the audacity of the liberal who was running for that office, who said that he did not believe that parents should have a say in a child's education. And Lord God, it just went from there. And now we have Republican Governor Youngkin in Virginia. Listen, this is a thing, and it's a battleground. And I don't think I ever expected when I was a kid. Yeah, I mean, when I went to school, school was a safe place. School was that place where you went and, you know, hopefully things were better. And sure, there was going to be stuff on the playground where someone did something or maybe a bully picked on you. But generally speaking, teachers took care of kids and kids knew that teachers took care of them. Now you got to worry about what your teachers are trying to indoctrinate your kids on and whether or not they're an activist who just wanted a role. They wanted a role somewhere. They get paid to have a role where they can be an activist. Here's where we are right now in Alabama. We've got a situation with our numbers being extremely low. And we've got a recent decision that I'll tell you about after the break that, it's decided now that they're going to enforce the standards. But in order to enforce them effectively, they need to lower them so that people can, you know, have the standards enforced because, you know, you don't want to actually do anything but give away participation trophies, right? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Education Battlegrounds. We'll be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making common sense a superpower. Hey, keep in mind, top of the hour, we'll be taking a call from Emily Jones with Moms for Liberty and get some new information that ties right into what we're talking about right now. I'm calling this Education Battlegrounds. Let me get a few text messages before I do that so they don't get away from me like they did the other day when I couldn't get to them and they kept piling in. Yeah, the text lines are 833-687-4448. Give us your commentaries. Allie from Athens came in with a follow-up on... Allie, I'll go back and figure out you were trying to add to a previous text, but I'll find it in a minute. Brian from Huntsville says, is our buddy Jeff from Indiana going to Walmart to shop or greet? He's going to shop. He said that, Brian. He's going to go shopping. He's buying his wife's groceries. Amy from Rainbow City says, 25 years ago, a man broke into my apartment in Birmingham at 2:15 in the morning. My phone was in the kitchen. I was asleep in the bedroom, and he was crawling in the window of the other bedroom. We were 12 feet away staring at each other, but once he saw my 12-gauge shotgun pointing at him, he quickly pushed himself back out the window, and I was able to call the police. That's when I became a firm believer in my right to bear arms. Not sure if I'd be alive today without my right to bear arms. There you go. Amy, my friend Amy from Rainbow City. Glad of it. You are indeed a Right Side Ruffians. I got a brand new texter in the string, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. It looks like it's Mitty from Hueytown. Love having folks from Hueytown. I spent a lot of time down there in Hueytown, Pleasant Grove area when I was growing up. Home of the Allison Brothers, NASCAR legends, Hueytown. But Mitty says she was listening to another show earlier, and someone called in saying that a Republican candidate cannot win the 24 presidential election. Huh. Saying that the never-Trumpers would not vote if he was nominated, meaning Trump, and the MAGA side wouldn't vote for other candidates than Trump. She says, first and foremost, I'm a Christian and a conservative, and I would like to see Trump nominated, but if he's not, then I'll still vote. Not voting because your guy didn't get picked is casting a vote for the Democrats. I don't understand how people could think like that. You are spot on, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Mitty, thank you very much. Yeah, we don't have the luxury of saying, well, it wasn't my guy, so I ain't going to vote. You vote for your guy in the primary, and then you vote for the guy you've got in the general, period. The reason why we don't have a Republican supermajority in the Senate is because of that kind of mentality. And the reason we don't have President Trump finishing out his second term right now with policies that are way better than what we have with Biden is because too many knuckleheads said, well, I don't like Trump, so I'm just not going to vote. That kind of thing does not accomplish a thing except giving victory to the other side. All right, back on topic. Education battlegrounds. Alabama Daily News has a piece that came out about 10 days ago. So Speaker of the House Nathaniel Ledbetter, State House, and State Superintendent Eric Mackey of the State School Board, Superintendent of the State Schools, Eric Mackey. They say the Alabama Literacy Act's holdback requirement will not be delayed again. Let me refresh you on what we're talking about. So in 2019, the legislature decided that one of the things we could do to improve Alabama's education is to increase literacy, and I tend to agree with that. So they introduced a piece of legislation that puts a statewide intensive effort into creating proficiency, and apparently studies indicate that you need to be reading at grade level by third grade, otherwise you perpetually struggle to keep up at that point. So what they did was they passed the Alabama Literacy Act, which puts a marker in place that says, you know what, if you're not reading at grade level by the end of third grade, you get held back. That we're going to say as a state law, that's the way we're going to handle it. And we're not going to keep promoting kids who are not reading at grade level. Okay, it feels tough. It's like tough love. But then, okay, COVID stepped in. Yep. And then people got scared. Well, we shouldn't do it now because everything's wampus right now. How do we do this? So they have been delaying this now, and it's been delayed until 2024. Some data indicates that if they went ahead and implemented it now, we might have about 12,000 students statewide that wouldn't go on to fourth grade. That's a lot. But at the same time, you knew that when you passed the law. Well, they've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Well, now the Speaker of the House and the state superintendent are saying, we're not going to put it off anymore. So what did they do? Oh, my gosh. Here's one from local WEAR-TV down in Mobile. I ran this story. I call this the soft bigotry of low expectations. The soft bigotry of low expectations. Well, we know you won't accomplish, so we'll just make it easier. This Thursday, that's yesterday, the Alabama State Board of Education voted to lower the scores required for third grade reading proficiency. Really? So we're worried about, you know, we passed a law, they got to be at a certain level, and then we realized we're scared that we're not going to get them to that level, so we're going to lower the level. That's awesome. So the change actually lowers a score, and Mackey once again says he's concerned that 10 to 12,000 kids wouldn't go on. And so what did he do? Lowered the score. Jackie Ziegler, state school board member that represents South Alabama, said, I truly believe this score does not represent grade level proficiency. By lowering the score, I think we are giving a false reading not only to our students, but to our students and community. So what they basically did say was, you have to be proficient. But we're gonna change what proficient means. Really? That's what we're going to do? That's like saying, well, you got to score a touchdown to get 7 points. But if you just go 90 yards, that's going to be enough. We'll go ahead and give it to you. No. You got to go the full distance of the field. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pick on kids that are struggling or dealing with issues that might, you know, prevent their proficiency levels. But you can't say we've set a new standard and then delay the standard implementation by 3 years, and then you're scared once you realize you can't keep delaying it, so you lower the standard. That's optics that no one should want. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we're gonna talk about school stuff with Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty. Talk about things that are happening in and around our listening area. And what does it mean to actually run for school board right now? Well, I'll tell you, there's 9,000 school districts across 35 of our states that have elected school board members up this year. Yeah. We'll see what Emily Jones has to say. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.